WLR's Week on the Farm, a Data Today special.
Thanks to IFAC, an expert team of accountants and financial advisors with specialist knowledge of farming, food and agriculture business.
Well, good morning, Damien. This morning I'm out here in Portlaw on the farm of John and Paul Duggan. They're very much involved in the whole livestock and haulage area of livestock. They're down as Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited. So I got a chance to talk to the two men themselves, John and Paul Duggan. First of all, John, thanks for having me here.
Okay, well, you're welcome, yeah.
John, as regards the background here, you started out here, your dad and yourself both worked in the tannery, and then you got involved in the farming sector.
Well, yeah, I was in the town, in the local tannery for 7 years, but I had itchy feet. I never was going to stay there, so the father said it was a job for life, so I didn't look at it that way. I wasn't happy there, so I went off and I started driving a lorry or captain's truck for Brian O'Keefe in Tramore. And kind of that was the start of the driving part of it. So I went on from there, then I bought a bit of ground there, a small bit of ground in the Bald Road there in Portlaw, and it was all overrun with rushes and everything else, and cleaned all that up and got it tidied up and kind of progressed from there then. Like,
farming was in your DNA, you wanted to get involved, and obviously you started off in a small way, but my God, the way it developed over the years. But as you said, the haulage was really the introduction to it.
It was really, because like, whatever you say or don't say about it, there's always a small income. It might be a massive life, but it was an income. And like, it kept things going and paid the bills and things that way. And my wife, she was more or less a housekeeper.
Right.
She worked when the lads were small and did bits of pieces with nursing homes and things that way. And she must get a bit of credit as well. But like, she was good at the books. She gets very good at the books.
Yeah.
And they're still doing the books to this day. But like,
it's so important to have somebody keeping an eye. Yeah, even a very busy fool in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, the money was always coming. Some people was always coming in. And like, that kept things going like all over the years. And then I was probably fortunate enough, yes, Paul, the son of mine, took the decision to stay at home as well. Things got a bit busier and we had a bit of land and things that I could cope with, but she were overdoing it, I suppose, really. So
the haulage was a great leg in for you as such, but before we came in here, you mentioned you got involved with Dawn Meads very early on. You were a good friend of the late, great Peter Queeley.
I was, yeah, and I held Peter in very high regard, and John Queeley. One thing about the Shoe Queeley brothers, they never lost where they came from. Never lost their roots, even though they're probably multi-millionaires, but that didn't matter. I have to give them great credit in that line. And I know they did a lot of good things for people that no one knows about.
Right.
And they took me over a hole one time. It wasn't big, but it meant a lot at the time.
You appreciated it at the time. But getting that leg in to that whole industry from a haulage point of view, that was a great start for you.
Yeah, well, except Nanber had a bit of a deal in the British Hotel one night, and Peter and his wife were there. And so I knew Peter before that. Actually, I went to him one day for a job, and I didn't get the job anyway. But anyway, they were working the quarry at the time, 8 hours across, and I worked for a job driving the lorry that time. So it didn't work out anyway. So I met Peter in the British Hotel, and he said they were thinking about opening a factory in Drenna, a cattle factory. So that happened, and he said, then he came to me after, he said, would you get into a truck? He said, go hard again. And so that's how that happened. And actually, Harry Cutter, the university in Wexford, he was a good very good friend of mine. He was a laser for Dawn Meads from the day one as well. But we brought in 2 loads of cattle on Saturday evening, when they started in Dawn Meads. And they were doing a dry run for the Monday morning.
That's that, yeah.
And they didn't want any hiccups on Monday morning. So we brought the first 2 loads of cattle into Dawn Meads.
That's a bit of history, John.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing about it, there was nothing out in the car park that time, only all gravel, just gravel base. And we were actually seeking the clay going in with the 2 loads of cattle. But Roisin Foley, you know Roisin,
yes.
Roisin Foley was the secretary at the time. She was the first girl was there. And the following It went on from there. They were killing 600 cattle a day in the early times. And she was doing all that by hand on a boat. Was a
pair. Unbelievable. And
John, computers.
Obviously the haulies, but then you got involved in the suckling and actually producing cattle yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose, yeah, I just liked the cows and the calves and we got into suckling in a small way. And then when Paul was there, then we developed that. And I was kind of fortunate that I had uncles, and my mother came from Wexford, and uncles of mine in Wexford left me a piece of ground.
Right.
And then I sold that piece of ground. But they told me if I ever got land near a home to buy it and sell the piece of ground in Wexford. But this piece of ground came up in Portlaw and they bought that with the proceeds from the sale of in Wexford.
And you never looked back since. I'd like to also be joined by John's son, Paul, who's very much part of the business. It's Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited. Paul, at a young age, at what age did you feel that farming was going to be for you?
I wish I kind of always had a bit of a grower. Everyone has grown up in school and I was always out there in the evenings and that when the father was away in the lorry and things, I used to be out feeding the cattle and so on and so forth. But when I gave up, when I finished school then I went to Kildalton in 97 or 98. That was kind of the start for them.
How did you find Kildalton? Was that an eye-opener for you and how beneficial was the Kildalton course for you?
Actually, it was very beneficial at the time, yeah. There's a lot we learned over there. A lot of stuff that you thought you knew, but you didn't. Now, I'd say it's probably more intense now, and I'd done it as like a one-year course. I was going through a two-year course now, but no, I found it a huge benefit to that.
And was it being the agri-contractor, the haulier, or the actual farming? It was a bit of all three that you were interested in.
Yeah, I always didn't like the machinery, but there were no machinery here at that stage. It was only stock and the lorry. So the lorry's kind of seasonal as well, as is the sucklers. Like the suckler was very quiet during the summer, so... We went off there in 2006 and bought the first tractor and baler and kind of developed it from there.
Now, of course, as a young man, you're a top-class hurler with Portlaw, played on county panels, but unfortunately then, disaster struck as regards your whole health scenario back then.
Yeah, I'd unfortunately not get a thing called nephrotic syndrome. It's a virus that affects both kidneys. And I got that when I was 20 years of age and... Got a bit of hardship.
You were saying kind of swelling ankles and that was the first bit of that you realised there was something your foot. You were hurling away at the time with club and county. You were on the county minor team at the time. And the swollen ankles was the first warning sign.
It was, yeah, it was. I never really felt sick or tired or in the way, but I was playing a match at Hurleyville Portlaw one night and I came in after the match and Brendan Coffey, he's a member of the club here, but he's also a nurse. And he was just there when we were getting togged off and that he came over to me and he said, Jesus, what happened to your ankles? And I said, I don't know. I said, I'd like that a couple of weeks or whatever. But we went about it and I ended up in Dublin for a couple of weeks and I was diagnosed with that. So that was in 2005. And it got progressively worse then. I got a transplant in 2009.
That was huge to get the transplant. That was it. And a relief for everyone involved.
It was, yeah. I was also fortunate enough to get it before I needed dialysis.
Okay.
So I was one of the lucky ones that got it before. So I never got dialysis as such. But no, I got 14 great years out of the transplant.
And then getting involved in the farm, you said the transport end, obviously very involved in contracting, especially on big bales and of course the cattle as well. So have you kind of targeted into one or have you hand in all three as such?
No, we're still at all three. As each job is kind of seasonal as such. Like the contracting is obviously busy during the summer. The lorry is busy from September until April every year. So when the lorry quiet is there when the contractor picks up. And then you have the cattle during the winter as well. So we're lucky enough to have a workman here with us. And the cattle keep him going as well for the winter. We're that busy with the contractor. He does the feeding and things, a lot of it anyway.
So coming back, you're looking, yourself and Dad have a great working relationship. As you say, you're Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited now. But you work as a great team.
We have our ups and downs, I suppose, the same as every father and son, I'm sure he gets on anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, your own young lad, I believe, is very interested in the machinery and into the farming as well.
He is, yeah, that's his main interest. He's just, Jack is 14 now, but he loves the farm. He's up there, he's up in the air day and night.
Would you be encouraging him to get involved? Do you feel, from your own point of view, it's a good lifestyle? It's busy, a lot of hard work, but a good lifestyle.
It is, it's busy and you're kind of tied to it as such as Saturday and Sunday, but you're... If you like it, it's a good lifestyle as anything else.
So when you came back from Kildalton at the time, getting involved, at that stage, you had your mind made up, farming, livestock, haulage was going to be the life for Paul Duggan.
Yeah, I suppose it did. I went off and I gave 4 years going around inseminating for Dovey. And that worked in well with the home farm. And then I got the license for the lorry and I gave up with Dovey. Then I would drive through the lorry and we increased the machinery a bit more at home as well and then stayed at home full time.
Took off from there. Dean, we were here in Portlaw on the farm with John and Paul Duggan, Portlaw, Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited. We'll take a break, but don't go away. We'll be back to talk to John and Paul in the second part of our programme.
WLR's Week on the Farm, a Dacia Today special.
Thanks to IFAC, an expert team of accountants and financial advisors with specialist knowledge of farming, food and agriculture business.
Welcome back, Damien. We're here on the farm with John Paul Duggan, Portlaw, better known as Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited. John Duggan, very much involved in the haulage, as you mentioned. Obviously, marts and factories are your key base for work.
Yeah, they are, basically, yeah. Which I'm like, I suppose, I'm in my 28 years and coming 78 years of age, and parents will tell you when you come to 55 or 60, you should be retired. But
you enjoy what you do, John.
Like, as far as I'm concerned,
the buzz about it.
As far as I'm concerned, like, some of us go off and play golf. But I enjoy what I do with this. Yeah, that's my outlet. Like, so, like, as long as the body can keep doing it, I'll do it.
The marts, of course, Dungarvan on Monday, you've Ross marts on the Saturday. They're your two big marts as such.
Dungarvan and Ross would be. Carrigan Shoe was a big one.
Okay.
For us, like, but they're closed. And then I go to KL some weeks, not every week. Kilkenny some weeks and not every week as well. It all depends. We kind of buy cattle for people on some farmers.
I was just going to say that, you know, obviously you're buying for yourself, but you also buy for your farmers and clients as well.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 30 years, I suppose, or more. And the same clients have probably still. And some of them have retired and some have gone. And
cattle,
some have gone here, do you see?
Yes, gone into the area. Cattle-wise here, John, what age do you buy minutes and what type of system have you here for cattle?
So as of now, like what we're doing is buying in stores, like, and we finish so many over the winter, finish so many off grass.
Right.
That's what we're doing now. Like, the Southland...
Probably didn't suit your busy man with the haulage and contracting.
Yeah, well, we said before there early on, but the Southland, like, we got into up to 140 cows, actually. And we're doing, I think, we probably would be in the top 10% in the country.
Yeah.
Going on the figures coming back. But, like, we're doing a good job and... We kind of do anything we do, we try to do it fairly good. But, like, we sat down there, like, last summer there, and we said, like, oh, I was on dialysis a couple of days a week, and, like, if those cows calf, they're running lifetime, like, there's no one you could call on. That's the way it's gone now. Like,
you could do without that person.
Labour is the case, and I'm 78 years of age, and I said, we didn't have to do it, and why should we do it? So, and nothing gets first stuck down. Like, as things turned out, but then they have to go back again. The cattle won't be there.
The cattle won't be there.
But like, as of
the fly in demand.
But we won't be going back anyway.
Okay.
And myself and Paul won't be going back. But then what Jack will do when he comes along. And
of course, Jack is your second son.
No, Jack is my nephew and my grandson.
Oh, grandson. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the next generation.
Of course, son. Yeah.
All right.
So he's the way he is now, he's nearly the driver. He's driving the two of us. But he's just head over heels.
You must be delighted to see that, let alone your son. But your grandson is enthusiastic about machinery, about cattle and about farming.
Well, there's no such thing as asking to go up the yard. He's up the yard. He'd be up the yard in the night time at 8 o'clock.
And big into machinery.
Greasing balers and putting oil into yours and getting ready for the morning.
Brilliant.
He wouldn't have to tell him, but he just does it. And that's his golf as well.
Yeah, you can't beat nature. John, you set up before we came on here, you mentioned Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited. When did you decide to go that route and how you found going that route with yourself and Paul?
Well, I suppose it's a natural progression. I don't know, like, one thing led to another, like, really. I suppose we're getting a bit of money out of each thing. Like Paul said.
Now, were you advised that was an advisor or was it an accountant or was it just your own good feet?
Like, you're really sung. You have to have someone tell you what to do.
Yes.
I think, yes. Because, like, accountants are okay. They're okay with the figures. But, like, when it comes to the nitty-gritty of ramen, like, they're lost, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing, like, Chagas are a big help now. We have a very good man in Austin Flavin now here in Waterford.
Yes.
And Austin, we have a very good friend of ours now. I hired him in Hydrocars. And, like,
top-class advisor, and he really gets the industry.
Yeah, well,
he gets the grassroots, what's involved.
Yeah. We've had a good few open days here over the years, and they've come down, different farmers have come here. We've visited their farms, and that's through the Chagas thing, like, to have an all these transfer thing there, and that scheme is there for farmers. But the supplement are getting very scarce. That's the trouble, you know.
Yeah. John, when I drove into the yard, beautiful green sheds, hundreds and hundreds of bale sallies, but to so neat and tidy. You're a man that likes things to do it. If you do it, you do it right.
Yeah, well, I suppose by nature I'd be tidy anyway, like, and Paul is tidy and Jack is tidy as well.
Right.
And, I suppose if you see what's going on, if you see someone doing it, you'd probably do it yourself, like, that kind of a thing. But, like, it's just as easy to keep it that way. I've been always saying, like, with the Department of Agriculture, like, for instance, if you keep your nose clean, you're never in trouble.
That's a good move of advice.
And the same thing applies to the water quality and all that carry on.
Yeah.
Like, if you have stuff, we say, base dirty stuff running out the gate, you're drawing trouble right yourself, like. So, like, it's as easy to keep it tidy as keep it the other way.
Yeah. Well, definitely, Jean, you're a good expert here.
And it's job satisfaction as well, like. Of course. When you walk into a place and, like, we come out there on Sunday, like, and shoving a bit of soil to cattle and things that way, which are good shoes on you, and I ought to show these shoes on you, as I say.
And Paul, really, apples don't far from the tree with yourself involved. Paul, as regards the big bale silage, and indeed your dad mentioned about water quality, and that sustainability is such a big part of it. You have the low emission slurry spreading, you have the clover here, and you're very conscious of the water in the catchment area around Portlaoise.
Yes, we are. We're going to have to be. There's a lot of water around Portlaoise in general, between rivers, and we're kind of in a basin here. But no, I think it's important. It's important to have the mind where we are.
And Paul, as regards the contracting, obviously you have a group of farmers within your own catchment area. You might tell our listeners about that, and also from the haulage. Is there a lot of crossover between customers for haulage and indeed for contracting?
Yes, there. Yeah, we're looking over most of our neighbours around here to get us to do the haulage and the contract work. But I wouldn't have a lot of clients, but our clients I have are all good clients, and they're happy to have them all.
Well, that's it. Once you have good clients and paying clients. As regards the big bale, obviously big bale suits you. You have a lot of land in all different areas. Big bale sale is what you concentrate on.
Well, it is here at home, definitely, because we cut it young and leafy. Like, we try and get as good a silage as possible. We're always hoping for open mid-70s in the DMD, or maybe a bit better, which needs to be, because when you're fattening cattle, like. So it cuts down on the buying in, it concentrates. And, like, you can cut 5 acres today or 20 acres tomorrow.
Okay.
You're not just going to leave it all into one big heap.
More flexible. As regards your customers then, when we talk about contracting for silage and that, do you do pit silage as well, or is it mainly the big bed?
No, it's just the big bed.
Yeah.
Kind of any of the gear we have, we use on our own farm. And that's kind of the reason we based it that way. We're self-sufficient to do all our own work.
Right.
And we've good enough gear to do beyond hire as well.
Then, as regards the haulage, then what type of radius have you, or do you have clients for, as regards haulage, be it to the factory, to Dawn or whatever factory, or to Dungarvan Mart, or indeed Ross Mart, or indeed Care Mart as well?
Yeah, we do New Ross every Saturday there, and Dungarvan every Monday, and we draw pigs every Monday morning early. We leave here around 5 every Monday, so that's their first.
You leave at 5 with the pigs before you start drawing the cattle?
Yeah, we do that there for a local farmer there every Monday. So that is the first job of the week, but no, we stay local. Like, we don't have very much farther than Wexford, Kilkenny. We have a good customer of ours in Carlow. In Carlow there, we buy the cattle farm and haul them to the marts, back to the factory, I mean. But other than that, it's all local work.
And your dad mentioned there, you actually buy for a lot of your clients. So that's built up. There's a trust there, and obviously doing the job right when people are staying with you to buy for them.
Yeah, I suppose my father lost a long time, I suppose his name built up at it. But, like, a lot of farmers haven't the time to go to the marts anymore. Like, they can't afford to give 3 or 4 days a week in a mart trying to buy 40 or 50 cattle.
And of course, the online, COVID, one thing it brought from a lifestyle point of view, I thought it would never work, the online auctions. And my God, not alone having dealing with customers around the ring, but customers all over the southeast. And speaking to Kevin Casey, Mart manager, he said it really was a game changer for the industry.
Yes, you kept the floor on the whole thing, you know. Yeah. It's like, there's people, any part of the country, you can buy cattle in any place where they want to. Like, a lot of the feedlots and that don't even need to see the cattle. They're just buying weights and dates.
Right. Wait Sunday.
As long as they're suitable As long as they're taking the boxes and that, they're just buying them. That's it.
Well, it's indeed. Finally, John, turning to you, you've seen a lot of change. And we mentioned there with Paul about the Mart. The whole scene has changed. It's very so much a social day as well as a busy day for you. Monday in Dungarvan, Saturday in Ross and heading up to Care. The social aspect is a huge part of it. And you enjoy meeting the various farmers and customers and clients you meet, be it Monday in Dungarvan or Saturday in Ross.
Yeah, I would too, I suppose. Yeah, but... like Anne often says, you're going for the chat.
But you also said a lot of work done as well.
But the thing about it is, like, the day you wouldn't go, that's the day but you'd want to be there.
Yes, yeah.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
It was easy, because you can't legislate. But, like, what people do, like Paul was on about buying the cattle, like, what we do is, if I'm buying cattle for an individual farmer, on the day, they go into his herd number in the mart.
Okay.
They don't go into our herd number and then transfer back again. So, like, it's very transparent.
So when you were bidding around the ring, you might necessarily be bidding for yourself. You said that's to go down to...
Yeah, you charge them, then. And then with that, then that's the way I always work. I want to be transparent and have no people thinking they cost less and they cost didn't cost this. So he has a... they're going to his name and he has an invoice. I take the cars then and take the invoice and the invoice goes to him.
Brilliant.
So he is there for his
it's a clean deal. Yeah.
It's clean and it's transparent.
John, the online, obviously during COVID, you were able to use it. What's your view on the online as a producer, as a seller, as a buyer, the online situation that's now available, the online bidding from livestock marts?
I sure know. You love it on here. It's here to stay, isn't it? That. But like my generation, I wouldn't be really a phone nerd, as my brother says, but like, there's people that can do anything but phones, but that's not my case. But like, I still like to buy them in the mart. I don't do much during the COVID. Did a bit of online, all right, like, but since then we didn't. But for people that are not in farming, that maybe might be listening to this programme, they want to think long and hard about the produce that's coming, the milk, the beef,
because food scarcity is becoming the food thing and supplying
all the food, the cabbage, whatever else is involved, and all the whatever makes up the shop and day shopper.
Yeah, yeah, the shopping basket.
They want to think of, and they want to if they can at all, and if they can afford it, to buy the low oil juice.
Well, John, yourself and your son Paul, you've set up a fantastic enterprise down here. To Duggan Agri and Livestock Limited, John and Paul Duggan in Portlaw. Listen, thanks for having us here today. Best of luck in the future. I'm sure I'll see you on Mondays in Dungarvan and Saturdays in Ross over the next few years. Thanks for talking to us. And back to you, Damien, in studio.
WLR's Week on the Farm, a Daisha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, providing tax and accountancy advice for your agribusiness.